It's Morning Edition on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source. I'm Marshall Terry. This week, WFAE launches its first investigative podcast. It's called She Says, and it tells the story of a sexual assault victim and how police handled her case. Here's an excerpt from the trailer for She Says.
It's been nearly 3 years, and Linda, as we'll call her, is still waiting for answers, even though she believes she's known the truth the entire time.
I said, I know it's him. I mean, there's just no question there, period, in the story.
The situation is so unfortunate. Half of my career is in investigations, and I've never seen this situation happen before.
The first voice you heard is WFAE's Sarah D'Elia, the host and lead reporter of She Says, which debuts tomorrow. And Sarah joins me now.
Good morning, Marshall.
Good morning. What made you want to do this podcast, Sarah?
I really wanted to share with our listeners what it's like to navigate the criminal justice system post-assault. So to have a sexual assault survivor who was walking that path in real time, who actually allowed me to walk it with her, was a really amazing opportunity that doesn't happen every day. We wanted to take our time and show the complexities of this path. So many different agencies have to work together, from hospitals to the police to the crime lab to the court system. There are just a lot of moving parts. And I wanted to dive into how all these parts are supposed to work together and to see how a survivor navigates all these different agencies who at the end of the day should be working for them. Covering sexual assault is a really difficult thing, not just because of the subject matter, but because you have to find someone willing to go forward with their story. And we were lucky enough to find that person in Linda for this podcast. And I guess I should say she sort of found us.
Well, tell me about that. How did you meet her?
Linda originally contacted our news director, Greg Collard, via Twitter, and they kept in touch for about a year. I think she was mostly curious about our planned coverage for backlog crime labs and reporting around sexual assault crimes. Eventually, they spoke on the phone, and eventually, at some point, she disclosed to him that she was a sexual assault survivor and had questions about how her case was being handled. Greg brought her story to the newsroom late last spring, and it sounded really interesting. I didn't know if I had the bandwidth to take it on at the time, but I remember thinking whoever did this story, it would be really important for them to be a female journalist because of the types of really intimate and detailed questions you would have to ask. From there, it got assigned to me, and I spoke to her on the phone for an hour and knew that there was a story there. I went to her home last summer and spent the day just listening to her story. We didn't even record. And I asked her to really think about if she wanted to do this story and what it would mean for her. She called a few days later and she said she wanted to go forward with it. And we went from there. We spent a lot of time talking about her relationship with CMPD, specifically the conversation she had between her and the detective working her case. This is an exchange she recalls from when she was interviewed at CMPD headquarters days after the assault.
People had asked me if I'd been in a car accident. So I was black and blue all over my neck. I was hoarse because I couldn't talk. I had a bruise in the shape of a handprint on the inner left thigh. So I got very upset, like not angry with her, but just like hurt that she was asking me these questions like this. And I pointed from like my head to my toes and I said, does this look like consent to you? I was just shocked. I thought these people would be trained on this. The first thing you do, and now I especially know, is you believe someone when they tell you this.
How did you go about doing your reporting? Who did you talk to?
Like I said, I really wanted this podcast to follow Linda's story, but also to break down all these different parts that are a piece of the puzzle and the path that a sexual assault survivor must walk. So we spoke to detectives about how they run their interviews with victims, nurses that conduct sexual assault exams, scientists, and about how they analyze DNA and how it's used to find potential suspects, attorneys on how DNA laws are interpreted, folks that work in crime labs, judges, and of course, sexual assault survivors. Our healthcare reporter, Alex Olgan, has helped with the reporting, and together we've gone through court documents, background checks, medical histories, and police reports to verify and corroborate stories and accounts. I don't want to give too much away, but together Alex and I recreated a really key piece to Linda's investigation as well.
What have you learned doing this?
The criminal justice system is super complicated, and I knew that going into this, but until I started to watch Linda navigate it, I didn't know how complicated it actually was. From Linda's experience, I learned that if you're a sexual assault survivor, you're going to have to ask a lot of questions to stay informed about your case. It's not just one person or one agency that's the bad guy here, to be clear. Detectives have high volume caseloads, which leads to poor communication with victims, the numerous victims that they have to interact with. We heard over and over again that crime labs don't have enough resources. That's money, and that means staffing. And that creates a backlog of sexual assault kits that are just waiting to be tested. And waiting on that DNA evidence to come back can slow down an investigation and ultimately an arrest. So everything is connected. If one piece of the puzzle is slow or broken, it impacts the whole thing. And ultimately, the community and that victim suffers the most.
That's WFAE's Sarah D'Elia. She Says debuts tomorrow. You can hear a preview at WFAE.org/She Says. Sarah, thanks.
Thanks, Marshall.